Hoss Brandflakes presents Believe It or Not. Again, Post 40% Brand Flakes bring you Bob Ripley with more of his amazing Believe It or Not, with B.A. Ralph and his orchestra and lovely Linda Lee. Yes, sir, life is swell when you keep well. And say what a really swell cereal Post Brand Flakes are, so mellow and crunchy. And what a wonderful nut-like flavor. And then those extra benefits, the benefits of brand so many of you may need to help you keep fit naturally. So why don't you join the millions who enjoy Post Brand Flakes every day for their delicious flavor, for their extra benefits. Yes, life is swell when you keep well. Here's that facile, felicitous finder of faultless, firm-bounded, far-flung, farbragasting features. Believe it or not, Bob Ripley.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to the program tonight. Three years ago, I visited Edinburgh, Scotland, one of the most beautiful cities in the world, by the way. And as I walked the long mile from Holyrood to the castle high on the rock, I stopped to visit Old West Kirkyard with its cemetery of crumbling stones. And it was here that I heard about the drama that I'm going to present to you now. I take you back 200 years. It's August the 30th, 1766. Our scene opens in the old churchyard. It's midnight. Outside an ancient stone vault, Simpson the night watchman and a gravedigger, Fintry, are conspiring to break in and steal the jewelry from a woman who was buried in the vault that very morning. Simpson the night watchman speaks.
It's in that vault, Fintry. I think we can force the door with this crowbar.
Aye, Simpson. I got my eye on the ruby ring she was buried with this morning. Oh, it's as big as a pigeon's egg it is.
Stow your gab, man. We've got to force the iron gate to this vault first. Here now. Put down your lantern and lend your weight to this crowbar. Quiet, you fool. A bit more of this racket, you'll have the curate and the sexton doing on our necks.
Don't be so nervous, Simpson, man. Here now. Let's push together. Again. Once more. There.
That's got it.
There you are, man. The lock to this old gate gave as easy as butter.
Hurry in there, man. This kirkyard is creepy the next.
You stand here by the door and watch if anyone should come along.
I'll be right out here. Hurry, man, now, and pry off that lid.
There she is. Oh, this ring is a beauty. The ruby's as big as a pigeon's egg it is. But I can no get it off.
You're good, Fintry.
Eh?
I'm getting nervous out here. Some legs just popped up in the curate's window. We better be hurrying away from here.
I'm working as fast as I can, man. I can no pull the ring off her blasted finger.
Fintry! What's the matter, man?
It's her. She's moved. I can see her lips moving. She's alive, I tell you. God strike my dead if she's no alive.
Never mind her. Let's get out of here. I see a bob and lantern coming towards us. It must be the curate or the sexton. Hurry, man.
There you are, sexton. I told you, ghouls, robbing the graves again. See this? Someone forced the iron gate to this vault.
You're right, curate. The lock's been broken. And here's the crowbar.
Let's see if the grave thieves have got away with anything. Poor woman, just buried this morning. Oh, it's a shame. There's someone groaning in here. Give me that lantern.
Here, my curate, her lips are moving. We must have buried her alive.
Aye, she's alive. Quick, man, let's get her to the doctor.
And that woman was alive. Her family had mistaken a strange trance for death and had buried her prematurely. That graveyard thief who brought her back to life by trying to steal a ring from her finger accidentally performed a great service to mankind. For that same woman, 5 years after her funeral, gave birth to a son who became Scotland's greatest novelist, the author of The Lady of the Lake and Ivanhoe. That son was Sir Walter Scott. Believe it or not.
B.A. Rolfe and his orchestra play Bright Eyes. Lovely Linda Lee sings.
Heartsick, lonely, weary, poor, bewildered, lost in a dream of you. Where is the love I knew? Why did we part?
Order, please. Order in the court. Gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
Order. It will please the court to hear your verdict.
We have all decided life is swell if you keep well.
And a mighty good verdict that is. Yes, sir, life is swell when you keep well. And folks, you all know the benefits of bran. Why, they may be just what you need to help keep you feeling fit, alert, in the pink. Well, post-bran flakes, eaten every day, bring you the benefits of bran in a most delicious form. That's why they're called the cereal that's more than a cereal. Post-bran flakes are crunchy golden brown flakes, packed with a wonderful, different nut-like flavor, a flavor that's made them the favorite bran flakes the world around. So at your next breakfast and at every breakfast, just fill up a bowl with swell-tasting Post Brand Flakes. Sprinkle on some sugar and add plenty of milk or cream. Why, there's a treat that rings the bell every time. Yes, and right from the start, I know you'll agree with that verdict. Life is swell when you keep well.
For my next Believe It or Not, I'm presenting one of the most amazing men I've ever met. His name is Tom Sawyer, not the one that Mark Twain wrote about. This Tom Sawyer comes from Eagles Falls, Arkansas, and he's the strangest musician I've ever heard. He can literally play anything you hand him except a musical instrument. He can play cigarettes, matches, your pocket handkerchief, your eyeglasses, anything at all. And I want you to meet him. Come over here, Tom Sawyer. Meet the audience.
Good evening, Mr. Ripley.
Now, Tom, I have some things here on the sound effects table by me. I'd like to try you out on some of them. There's a dishpan and a pair of roller skates and, here's a shotgun. Could you play something like that? Can you play a shotgun?
I certainly can, Mr. Ripley. How's this?
What? You're looking in the wrong end there. That's very good. So you'll blow your head off someday with that end, I'm sure. Now, how about something else here? Here's a dishpan. What's this now? That's a carving knife. Can you play the carving knife?
Well, I can play a carving knife, Mr. Ripley, of course. I can buy a violin bow from one of the musicians.
Violin bow? Well, that's easy. Say, Frank, where's that? Hand him that violin bow.
Sure, here.
Thanks very much.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. I'm trying to show you how a mockingbird sings.
Mockingbird can sing, all right. I didn't know you got out of a carving knife, though. See, that's pretty good. Now, what other things can you play on, Tom?
Well, I've played on almost everything in the world except a musical instrument.
Yes.
I've played on a man's ear and on an oyster. on a lady's toe.
What do you mean? What'd you say, a lady's toe? I don't think you can. Now, that's something I'd like to hear. There's a lady's toe in the house. I'd like to see it. I mean,
Bob,
some lady offer her...
Bob.
Yes.
Sitting right over there.
Where?
See, right over. Maybe she'll lend us her toe, huh?
Young lady, would you mind coming over the microphone? I assure you. I assure you, we'll not be embarrassed at all. Thank you very much.
I'll be glad to help if I can.
Well, all right, you come right up here at the microphone. Hey, your face looks very familiar. You're not the girl that's on the cover of the Saturday Evening Post this week, are you?
Oh, that's right, I am.
Drawn by Miss Nancy McMean?
That's right.
What is your name, please?
Elaine Bassett.
Elaine Bassett.
That's right.
Well, I'm very glad that you were so kind to offer your services here. Now, would you lend your toe for Tom to play on?
Here it is.
Well, no, you've got to take your shoe and stocking off.
Take off my shoe and stocking.
Right. Yes, right ahead, I assure you. That.
I'm game.
I'm telling you, yeah. All right,
just give me your toe, and here we go. Say, Mr. Ripley, this is a tough one. I wonder if I couldn't have some piano accompaniment along with this.
Yes,
be picking the song.
Go right ahead. Thank you very much, Miss Bassett. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard Tom Sawyer of Eagle Falls, Arkansas, who can't play any musical instrument whatever, yet he can play a tune on anything you hand him, even a lady's toe, believe it or not. Two weeks ago, I presented an echo man on this program who stopped the show. He could echo simultaneously whatever anyone said, no matter how fast or what language they might have spoken in. His name was Ed Albany, and he comes from Wisconsin. Now, after that program, I received a letter from another echo man who's from Revere, Massachusetts, who challenged Ed, saying that he could echo as well or better than Ed could. So I invited him to come here tonight, and here they are, both of them. One's name is Homer DiPietro, and he's raring to go, and Ed is also here. Now, meet your champion, you meet the rival, and here you are, both of you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait until the contest, I'll show you.
You two, me. Oh, wise guy, eh?
Yeah, wise guy.
I'll clip you so help me.
Wait a minute now. We'll have a contest here. We'll settle all this right now. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in order to make this a fair contest, I have to have somebody for the boys to echo. So I've selected none other than that great comedy team known to everyone who listens to the Royal Crown radio program, Tim and Irene.
Good evening, everybody. How are you, Bob?
Now, Tim and Irene, how about giving the challenger, Homer, here a chance to echo you?
Well, where is this echo?
He's
right
in front of you.
Who said that?
Irene, don't talk while I'm talking.
Well, believe it or not, I haven't said a word yet.
Wait a minute, I'll clip him.
I'll clip you.
Well, that's a fair clipping.
Now, Joint, I'm an echo. Echoes. Now, just a minute. I'll get a word in edgewise here. Tell him how many. Tell him one of our jokes. That'll stop him. Well, if you're the only one that's ever stopped. Tell him how old you are. That'll retard him. Well, I'm only 18.
Well, my mother told me. She did. Yes, I went home one day and I jumped up on my mother's knee and I said, Daddy, how old am I? She said, sonny boy. Wait a minute. You always call your daddy a mother daddy? Oh, yes.
What do you call your father?
We don't have to call him. He has an alarm clock.
Stop him, Irene.
I don't know what to do. It looks like we're on the spot here.
Mr. Ripley!
Say, Homer, you certainly stayed with him very well. Now, our second contender, Ed Albany, is standing right beside me, patiently. Now, Tim and Irene, see if you can shake Ed's echo off. He's a pretty tough customer, too.
Well, I hope he isn't as tough as Homer.
Oh, he's not now.
Double feature, huh? Yeah. Looks like it's bank night. Now that you've taken all my lines, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you, Irene. Give him one of your hillbilly grammars. All right, that's what I'll do.
I have a wonderful hillbilly show called Prudential of Pottstown.
Oh, it's a wonderful place. I can imagine. Now, in this way, I play the part of a cook. Oh, I'm a wonderful cook. Would you like to know some of my recipes? Oh, I tell you what to do. You take two eggs and you beat them up and you kind of put some milk and some sugar in there, a little bit of VA broth, and then you add a little bit of aluminum. I'll tell you what I'll do, Irene. I'll sing a song.
Oh, that would be lovely. Tim, you're going to sing a hillbilly song. This is a beautiful song. It was written by Horvitz Cramlin. You've heard of Horvitz Cramlin, yeah. Taken from the great opera by Sumerium. Entitled Pause for Station Identification. Now here's the song.
Thank you very much. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, there seems to be only one way to settle this contest, and I think I'll let you folks be the judge. Now, first I'll place my hand over the head of Homer Pietro, and your applause will determine your opinion of him. Now, Ed Albany, you step over here. Well, I think according to the applause here in the studio given to the competitors in this Echo contest, that the crown for the number one Echo Man of 1938 should belong to Ed Albany. Leave it. That melody, Freight Train Blues, brings you six believe-it-or-not musicians, members of that madhouse, gashouse gang, the St. Louis Cardinals. It's the only Oklahoma Mudcat band and the only band in the history of baseball made up of some of the greatest players in baseball today. Their leader is none other than that mighty Mustang of the Ozarks, Pepper Martin himself, right fielder extraordinary and conductor of this band. All right, Mudcats, you're up. Let's start off with your theme song. Play ball.
We are Mudcats. We're tough as wildcats. And our ears are made of leather, and they flop in windy weather. Crash all hemlock. We're tough as a pine knot. We're from Oklahoma, can't you see?
I'd like to introduce Pepper Martin himself. All right, Pepper, you're attack.
Thank you, Bob Ripley.
Say, Pepper, I know our radio audience would like to know how a bunch of big league ball players ever got the idea of organizing a hillbilly band.
This trouble all started, Mr. Ripley, on account of my wife.
What? There was a woman in back of it?
Yes. My wife gave me a guitar several years ago. I didn't want to let it go to waste, so I got some of the boys on the Cardinals interested. And last spring, we organized the Mudcats.
And have you been successful?
I'll say we have. The outfit has a president, four vice presidents, what? And a secretary treasurer.
That sounds like big business.
I'll say we've got $60 in the bank. 500 blank checks, and we're really going places.
You will go someplace if one of those checks bounces. Now, Pepper, I think it's about time you introduce the officers of your corporation to our audience, radio audience here.
Okay, Mr. Ripley, the first gentleman I'm going to introduce is best known to you fans out there in radio land as a fellow who in 1935 pitched 19 scoreless innings for the Chicago Cubs against the Detroit Tigers. I introduce to you Long Lean Lon Warnicky, the Arkansas Hummingbird, now of the Gas House Gang. We're going to ask him to play a couple of chords on the guitar. Long Lean Lon Warnicky. As you well know, Lonnie really fires that ball through there. And the next gentleman I'm going to introduce to you has been around the American League and the National League. He's got a great curve ball. We call it the jug handle curve. So he put the jug on that curve ball, and now he plays the bass fiddle. He replaces the bass fiddle with the jug. And I introduce to you or present to you at this time Big Bob Weiland, 6'2" of might and muscle. That was cute. And now a left-hand pitcher that you haven't heard a great deal about, but I'm sure you will in the near future. He's a member of the Gas House Gang, and boy, that spirit is certainly catching. He plays the harmonica in the Mudcat Band. He can fire that ball out there on the baseball diamond. For your approval, lefty Max Lanier. And now a fella to the fans here in New York, or I might say over there in Brooklyn, that saw the ball game, a fella that pitched a one-hit baseball game out there today and yet was scored on, believe it or not. He drove in the winning run. He scored the tying run. And I submit for your approval, Silent Bill McGee on the fiddle.
Hit off the
Well, they did, believe it or not. And now, with fear and dread, I approach the next gentleman of those marvelous musical mudcats. The fellow with the long hair of a musician. The fellow with that faraway look in his eye of a Sokowski or an Ogrodowski. He's the only man in modern baseball that ever wore a mustache. Francois Bordegray on the rub board. Give him a couple of rubs.
Now, Shepard, what are your mudcats going to play for us?
Well, Bob, we're going to play the chicken reel with Barnyard Imitations by Francois Bordegray and Big Bob Weiland.
Let's go. That peerless sextet, the Oklahoma Mudcats, who played the chicken reel. This is the only orchestra in the world made up of big league baseball players. Every member of the Mudcats is a player on the famed Gas House Gang of the St. Louis Ball Club, the Cardinals. Believe it or not.
You know, folks, our Linda Lee is not only a very sweet singer, but she's also quite a poetess. Linda, how about reciting that little ditty you wrote a while
well,
ago?
Well, you put me up to it, Ford, so here goes.
I'm listening.
I'll sing you a song, though it's not very long. Still, I think it'll ring the old bell. Sure, you've heard it before, but I'll say it once more. Life is swell when you keep yourself well.
And Linda, you delivered that as if you really felt swell yourself. Yes, sir, life is swell when you keep well. And that's why it pays to treat yourself sensibly, live sensibly, eat sensibly. And speaking of treating yourself, why not begin with the delicious cereal that's more than a cereal, Post Bran Flakes. You all know the benefits of bran, and Post Bran Flakes eaten every day bring you these benefits in the swellest tasting cereal ever. And here's something else. You know how much tasty bran muffins can add to any meal. Well, you'll find an easy-to-follow recipe for making just the grandest bran muffins in the world right on your package of Post Bran Flakes. They'll come out of the oven light and tender, chock full of flavor. So tomorrow morning, ask your grocer for Post Bran Flakes. Enjoy these crunchy golden brown flakes for breakfast regularly. And you'll agree, life is swell when you keep well.
And now the time comes to say goodbye, and I can think of nothing more fitting to close with than the famous l'envoi of Sir Walter Scott, whom we dramatized earlier in the program. To all, to each, a fair good night, and pleasing dreams and slumbers light.
This is Ford Bond saying good night and keep fit. for the makers of Post Brand Flakes. This is the National Broadcasting Company.